If you've got your Bibles with you, if you would turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians in chapter 1. One of the great passages of Scripture focusing on our standing in Christ. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. And the Lord will bless to us the reading from his own precious word. Father, we thank you for this very precious time that you're allowing us to come together to worship, allowing us to open your word and to hear truths from that word, allowing us to just bow before your throne and to soak in all your love and your grace and your mercy to us in Christ Jesus. And so we pray for your help and for your strength this day, and pray that in your goodness and in your grace, that you will indeed come and speak to each and every one of us. For Father, you know where each of us are in the journey of life. You know those who are struggling, and you know those who are rejoicing. You know those who are frustrated, and you know those who are perplexed. And Father, we just pray that in these moments, we will be conscious of no other voice speaking save that of your Holy Spirit. So come to us, close us in with yourself, and grant to us those open ears and hearts to hear what the Lord is saying to us this day. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, as Arnold said, I hope that you will forgive any weakness in my voice. I've been struggling for a few weeks now with this throat problem, and I just pray that we'll be able to get through this service today. But as I've been thinking about it and praying for this time, I was conscious that Sunday by Sunday we come together, and you know, we're quite a mixed bunch as far as our spiritual walk with the Lord is concerned, and as far as our experience with him is concerned. For there are those of you here this morning, and some of you are really on the mountaintop. You're rejoicing in the Lord. God has been good to you. He's blessing you. And he's using you. And you are absolutely over the moon about that. Others of us are maybe just halfway up the mountain. We're aiming in the right direction, we're going there, but we're struggling a little bit just to get there. And others of us, well, truth to tell, we're down in the valley, and we're still struggling down there in the valley. Sometimes it's despairing, sometimes it's just being prostrated, just sometimes we're not quite sure what to do, where to go, how to handle this situation. And we're all different as we meet together today. But our prayer is that God will meet with us and speak to us. Because I want to share with you something that is very special to me. And something that God has just blessed me with as I've been thinking about this service. And that is to remind you and to remind myself that we are chosen in Him. As we were reading there in Ephesians 1. In Him we were also chosen. What a beautiful thought that is. Isn't it great when you know that you've been chosen for something special? Maybe you can look back and you can remember when you were chosen by the school to represent the school or the college or the uni at some particular thing. It's wonderful when you get that invitation. You know that you've been chosen. I remember some many years ago now when the Queen, when Her Majesty paid a visit to Ayr. And Moya and I got an invitation to go to luncheon with her at the town hall. It was absolutely fantastic, you know, to be chosen. It gives you a lift, no matter what it is, when you know that someone has been thinking about you. And here we are at the very heart of the gospel, the very heart of the good news about God. He has chosen us. And you know, when you read the Bible, you find, for instance, in the Old Testament that God chooses Israel to be His people. Not because they were anything great. In fact, in Deuteronomy 7 it says, "The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. No, for you were the fewest of all people. But it was because the Lord loved you." Note that. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your ancestors, that He brought you out of them with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That was Israel. And then when we go to the New Testament, we find in Romans chapter 8, that beautiful verse 29, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified." Wherever you read in the Bible, whether in the Old or in the New Testament, you find that God is blessing and choosing His people. In John chapter 1, for instance, in that beautiful verse 13, it says that those that He gave authority to become the sons of God, He says, were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you're a child of God this morning, if you're a believer, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you can say in your heart that God has sought me and He has brought me to Himself. He has chosen me to be His child. And that ought to encourage you here this morning. And I pray that by the end of our time together, you will indeed be encouraged by this thought. Now, let me emphasize something to you. The choice in all of this is God's. The choice is God's. The authority is based on His character. Nothing whatsoever to do with us. It's based on His love. We read that He chose us in Him in love. That's what our chapter tells us. Chose us in love, and He predestined us to be adopted as His children. I don't know about you, but I find that absolutely amazing. That God wanted me, and He just loved me and brought me to Himself. And His love is so precious, because that love did for me what I couldn't do for myself. He released me from my sin, from the shackles, from the bondage that held me down. He just brought me into that lovely place of knowing that he's dealing with my problem, and he continues to deal with my problem day by day. I know that he's with me because his love is precious and very, very personal. Very personal, because in Galatians 1, Paul tells us this: he set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace. Wow, what a statement. You see, we don't merit any of this. None of us are worthy of any of this. It's not that we're any holier than anyone else. We don't merit this. Nothing to do with us. It's all to do with him and with his grace. And so we rejoice in this, rightly so. But then we also recognize that there is a consequence to this choice. And that consequence is a transformation in our lives, a transformation in our character. It takes place. It's what we call being born again. It's this wonderful new birth, a brand new person, because God wants to change us that we might reflect the beauty of his own Son. In Ephesians 4, we read, God wants us to grow up into Christ in everything, in all things. And that transformation, by the way, is done not because of our effort, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit, who comes to indwell us when we open our lives to him. 2 Corinthians 3. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Listen, friends. Every experience that you have to go through, and some of you are coming through some hard and difficult experiences right now. Every experience that you have to come through, your Heavenly Father is filtering it. He's watching over you. And as you come through that experience, you know what he's doing? He's shaping you. He's molding you. He is just drawing you to himself. He's honing you to be the person that he really wants you to be. His eyes are upon you. And though this experience may be difficult and hard, nevertheless, he's bringing you to that place where he's shaping you to be more like Jesus, more like his precious Son. Because you see, you and I were chosen by God to be, first of all, a son. Galatians chapter 4, that's a beautiful chapter. And we read, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive, listen, the full rights of sons. And because your sons, God has sent his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, the Spirit who called out, Abba, Father. You see, he has changed our standing before him. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer far away. He has brought us into the family. We are now sons and daughters of God. He has changed that position. He has given us, if you like, dignity. He's lifted us up from the depths of our sins, and he's given us a place, a good place to stand. We now have the full rights of sons. Oh, just a few weeks ago, we were all rejoicing in that lovely birth of that lovely little baby, who now is called George, to Kate and to William. And he was born into the royal family. And he's now Prince George. Fantastic position for that little one. But listen, let me remind you something. You and I have been born again into the divine royal family. You are a child of God. You are a son of Almighty God. Says in the Bible, he has made us a kingdom and priests to serve him. That's the joy that we have. We now not only have dignity, we've got authority. He says we have the authority to become the children of God. The right, the privilege, the honor has now been bestowed upon us because he has chosen us to be a son. But it's not just a son, it's an heir. That's what the Bible tells us. we are now, since you're a son, God has made you also an heir, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. Oh, you know, the Lord has given us now a new hope, a new joy as we look to the future, because we know that he's watching over us. We're now in his family. He has chosen us and set us aside for his use. That is absolutely amazing, isn't it? You know, if I was preaching this sermon in Northern Ireland, I would be getting an awful lot of amens. Because you see, this is absolutely wonderful. It's truly amazing. This is the way Peter puts it when he's writing in his epistle. He says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." By the way, that just means special people. It doesn't mean that you're funny. "That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You see what Peter's saying? He's saying that there are five titles here that God says about you and God looks upon you. Characteristics from the Old Testament, actually, from the people of God in the Old Testament. Characteristics that now apply to us. And they are, of course, that we are a chosen people, that we are now a royal priesthood, that we are a holy nation, that we are a people belonging to God, that once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. These beautiful titles that belong to the people of God in the Old Testament now belongs to each and every one of us. And I want just to take these and break them down and make them more practical for us to rejoice in here this morning. Because Peter is saying here that there are four things that God is reassuring us about when we think that we're chosen to be in his family. What are they? Number one, as part of God's family, I am now acceptable. I'm acceptable. You are a chosen people, chosen by God. You know, friends, most of us spend most of our lives trying to earn acceptance. We really do. Sometimes it's trying to get acceptance from our parents. Sometimes it's from our peers around us. And sometimes it's from partners that we work with, or people that we respect, and sometimes even from people we envy. And this desire for acceptance, it just drives us along. It can influence the kind of clothes that you wear. If you want to appear cool and with it, it can appear to affect our behavior and sometimes the very houses that we buy. You know, we're always trying to be accepted by other people. I don't know about you, but I can look back to my childhood over in Belfast, and I remember as a kid that you tried so hard to be in the in crowd. Do you remember that? You know, you did your best to be accepted, because that was great. That's a great feeling to have. You know, you might hear somebody saying, "I dare you to do that." And you would do it, and it was a stupid thing. You know, I can remember, "I dare you to do it." I used to run around knocking people's doors and running away. You know, doing it. Or maybe you kick the ball over a wall, it goes into somebody's garden, and you'd climb the wall to get in, and sometimes it was scary, the things that you did. But, you know, you had a desire to be accepted, to be looked upon, say, he's good. He's part of the gang. He's part of us. I'm okay if I'm accepted. Somebody has chosen me, wants me, accepts me. I don't know if you ever, when you were young, we grew up in Belfast. I lived in the West Belfast, and that was close to the Distillery Football Club's ground. And we used to go up there into the car park area and play football most days. And you used to go up there, and of course the two best players would come forward to pick the teams. Do you remember that? Standing against the wall and you're waiting, you're saying, "Oh God, help me not to be lost," you know. Because they're choosing the best players. And usually I was last. But you just wanted to be accepted. You wanted to be there. One of the happiest days of my life was when Moya chose me and said yes to my proposal of marriage. And she became my wife, and that was wonderful, because it meant that, you know, she thought of me in that beautiful way, and I thought of her, and chosen. It's a beautiful thought. Peter says you're a chosen people, and that ought to raise your spirit here this morning. It ought to lift you. Many of us talk about accepting Jesus as our Savior. Let me turn it around the other way. Don't you realize that he has accepted you? He's accepted you. You are precious to him. You don't need to try to please God now. No, he's accepted you no matter who you are or what you are. Because the Bible tells us that even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Listen, God loves you. Here this morning. He loves you, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Not because of what you have done or what you are doing, but because of what Christ has already done. He made you. He created you. It's all settled. You can't make God love you any more than he does at this moment in time. Nor can you make him love you any less. That's how wonderful his love is. This love is absolutely amazing. It's called grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. I'm accepted. Here's the next one. Not only am I accepted, I'm valuable. Your life's valuable. My life's valuable to God. You're not only accepted, you're valuable. It says you belong to God. You belong to him. If I were to ask you, how much do you think you're worth? What would your reply would be? Now, I'm not talking about your net worth. I'm talking about your self-worth. Don't mix those two up. What are you worth? Well, what determines a thing's value? Well, I would say it depends, first of all, on what somebody is willing to pay for something, like your house. How much is your house worth? Well, whatever the market value is, whatever somebody's prepared to pay for it. Okay? But it also depends on who owned it. Whatever you have depends on that. Oftentimes, when you're trying to sell something, if it belonged to, it might only be a common object like a car or something like that, but if it belonged to somebody special like Prince William, for instance, well, if he was selling a car, it would be worth much more than what I would have to give in terms of my car. Or if you wanted to buy the guitar that John Lennon played, well, you'd pay an awful lot more than if you were going to buy my guitar, or a shirt that Beckham wore would be worth much more than what I would have in terms of my shirts. So stop to think for a moment. Based on those two things, what is your value? Ask yourself, who owns me? And what was paid for me? I want you to think of the cross, because Jesus gave his life for you. And Jesus didn't die for junk. You're valuable. You are precious. Nobody has ever paid a greater ransom price than God paid for you. And you need to take that on board today. You're acceptable. You're valuable. You've been bought with a price. And that price was the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. You belong to him. God gave his son for you. You are valuable to him. Peter goes on, and Peter says this in verse 5. Like living stones, you are being built into a spiritual house. Do you know, God has got a building project on at the moment. He's building his church. He's building his people. And in the New Testament, he uses the imagery of building an actual building, a spiritual building. You know, down in Girvan, we are also involved in a building project too. Adam Ullerman, who has this house, bought this house beside Asda. And those of you who have been through it have looked at that house, you say, my goodness, there's a lot of work to be done. And that's true, a lot of work to be done. But we're getting on with it, and it's starting to take shape. But you know, you and I are part of a greater building. A building that God is involved in, a foundation and cornerstone of this building is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the cornerstone of this building. And he's the one who just fits everything together. And you and I are living stones in that building. And God looks on you as precious and needed in his house, in his building for him. Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God? Isn't it wonderful just to know him, to love him, and to see what he's doing in your life and in my life? Oh yes, I'm acceptable to him. I'm valuable to him. And the third thing is, I'm capable and I'm competent to serve him. Because Peter says you are a royal priest, and the benefits and privileges that priests had in the Old Testament are now transferred to us. Because you see, the priest had the privilege of going directly to God, going before him in the tabernacle and in the temple. And they could talk to God, and they could worship and fellowship with God. And they had this wonderful privilege there on a one-to-one with God. You see, the priest had this privilege and responsibility of representing the people before God and speaking on behalf of God to the people. And you and I now have that same and wonderful access because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come directly to God. We don't need anyone else to bring us into his presence. Doesn't matter where you are. You could be sitting in your car, you could be riding on a bus, you could be walking down on the beach, anywhere, and you can just talk to him. You have this direct access into his presence before his throne. That's amazing. We're able to talk to him. And not only that, he has gifted each of us with ministry. He has gifted us so that we can serve him. As Paul says in Timothy, he saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began. Why did God save you and me? He wants us to serve him. He wants us to minister in his name and for his glory. You see, a non-serving Christian is a contradiction. No such a thing in the Bible as a non-serving Christian. He has given you gifts. And you might say, well, how do I know what my ministry is? Well, look at your talents. Look at the gift that this has given to you. He doesn't want you to sit on your hands. He wants you to just be up and using your talents for his glory. And you can serve him. You say, I can't stand up and speak. But we're not all called to do that. We're not all gifted to do that. You can serve the Lord with your talents, whether it be in that shop where you work, or that school where you're a teacher, or whether it be in that hospital, or whether it be just in that street where you live with your neighbors. You can serve the Lord wherever you are. And you can bring glory to his name. And God's saying that you are necessary to him and to his church. He has put you in his church so that you may be part of the family, part of this great spiritual building. And oh, God's doing so much for us here in Prestwick.
And I'm so delighted that he is working in many of your hearts and in many of your lives. And I pray that you too will realize that you are fitting together. You are needed. Because God wants you to be that person who finds fulfillment in serving him. And here's the fourth and last thing that I want to say. Because of all this, I'm special. I belong to God. You are really special. Because Peter says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. What a statement. What a statement. Once we were nothing, but God has lifted us up in Christ. We are now part of his eternal plan for this world. Because we read there in verse 11 of 1 Peter or of 1 Ephesians, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Why did he do it? Why did he go to such lengths to save you and to save me? So that we might be to the praise of his glory. That's it. The glory doesn't come to us. The glory goes to him. We are to worship him in everything that we do, so that we can glorify his name. And friends, that's a tremendous challenge. That's a challenging concept, to bring God's glory, to bring God glory. And you can bring glory to God in your home, as you're bringing up the kids, as you're getting the grandkids, the grandchildren, you're doing different things with them. You can glorify God just by being yourself and using whatever you're doing. You can even wash dishes to the glory of God. You're worshiping God all the time, not just on a Sunday morning, any time during the week. So I want to ask you, as we close this morning, I want to ask you this question. What are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? The truth is, we all worship something or somebody. And believe me, you'll always find some substitute. If you're not worshiping God, you'll always find some substitute, even if it's yourself. We have to worship some. That's the way we're made. Whatever you are giving your primary attention to, that's your number one. I want you to look at this very personally this morning. Whatever or whoever you're giving your primary attention to, that's your number one. Whatever you're giving your primary affection to, that's what you're worshiping. Whatever you're giving your primary abilities to, that's what you're worshiping. You see, you can worship things, many things. You can worship your career. You can worship making money. You can worship having pleasurable things. You can worship another person. I'm asking you, who or what are you worshiping? Because the greatest temptation in life is the temptation to worship someone other than God, or something other than God. Because he tells us, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, after all that I've said about what he's done for us in his grace, we have to say, well, who am I worshiping and what am I worshiping? Some of you are saying, oh, I don't have that problem at all. I don't have that problem. Oh, yes, you do. Because you know something? I have that problem too. It's one of the greatest temptations that Satan will throw at you and bring into your life. It was so great, he even tried it on Jesus. And if he tried it on Jesus, he'll try it on you. Who are you worshiping? Who's number one? What's number one in my life? What's really filling my horizon? Now, the amazing thing is this.
And it is amazing. That if we focus our attention, if we express our affection, if we use our abilities for God, if we focus on Him and let Him just fill our whole horizon, then He'll take care of everything else in life for you. Everything. That's why the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. And He will do this. Are you trusting in Him? That problem that you have just now, that frustration that you have, that anxiety that you have, that problem at work, that problem in the business, turn your eyes to Jesus. Just take in all that it means to be His child. Because He's watching over you. He's caring for you. He loves you. He's not going to let you go. Because He created you. He chose you. He's made you capable. You're special to Him. Are you enjoying that? Are you living in that this morning? Let's pray. Father, when we think of these beautiful truths from Scripture, we're just left in wonder. We're just left being amazed at Your wonderful grace. And so we pray that as You have spoken to our hearts, help us to go from this place knowing that we're special to You and You're taking care of everything else in our lives. Bless Your word. Bless Your people, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask these things.